Let's learn the who, what, where, when, and why of impressive, engaging writing that will help you get accepted to medical school. Welcome to the 327th episode of Admissions Straight Talk, Accepted's podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target school and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result, you get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in." Not only in, but in the best program for you. Now, I'm actually taking a week off for family time this week, and as a result, I decided to air an encore of our most popular med podcast so far in 2019, and it is Writing for Med School, which I presented at the end of January this year. It's an excellent time now for this podcast. Many of you are still knee-deep in secondaries. Others are starting to think about your personal statement for the 2020-2021 application cycle. That's the cycle that starts in June 2020. And starting early, i.e. starting now with self-reflection, is a great way to start. MCAS will begin processing applications right around June 1, and that may seem way off in the future, but it really isn't. And you want to be ready and ready to hit submit as soon as possible after MCAS opens. And hopefully by this time next year, if you are ready to hit submit as soon as MCAS opens, you may even have a few interview invitations in your hip pocket. For those of you beyond secondaries and either awaiting interview invitations or perhaps already having received an interview invitation or two, I'd like to invite you to Accepted's next webinar, Ace the MMI, a live Q&A with two MMI experts, Dr. Herman Gordon, former director of admissions at the University of Arizona Medical School, and Dr. Barry Rothman, founder and former director of several post-bac programs at Cal State San Francisco. Today, they are both Accepted consultants who bring their prior experience to bear as they guide our clients preparing for their interviews. And Drs. Gordon and Rothman are happy to share their expertise with you in the webinar, which will be held on September 17th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. They have decades of experience in medical school admissions, and they will reveal what you can expect and how to prepare for multiple mini interviews, those intimidating MMIs. We expect a packed house for the webinar, so sign up today at accepted.com/327webinar. Whether you are applying this cycle or not, I hope you've all had a wonderful summer, and thanks for listening to Writing for Med School. Let's look at the who, what, where, when, and why of the writing required in applying to medical school. Although I'm not going to go in that exact order, I'm actually going to follow Simon Sinek's example. I'm going to start with the why. So why do you have to do all this writing when you apply to medical school? You're not going to be writing War and Peace, the great American novel, winning the Pulitzer Prize by going to medical school. Though, of course, Charles Krauthammer was actually a physician who was a very influential writer and passed away fairly recently. But that's not your, presumably, that's not your purpose in going. You may write alongside your medical school studies and career. We've interviewed many people for the podcast who've done that. But that's not your why, presumably. For most of you, that's not the purpose. So why do you have to do all this writing? It boils down to what I call PAD, a very simple acronym, PAD. And that is not padding. It's a big difference. PAD stands for, the P is provide a window into the real you. The medical schools want to meet you in your application, through your application, and you are much more than your transcript and MCAT score, as I'm sure you'll agree. They want to meet that rest of you through the writing in the application. They're not going to see it just through the transcript and MCAT score. The A stands for add value to your application. All the writing should be telling them something they can't find elsewhere. Yeah, there'll be a little overlap between some parts, okay? That's for sure. But the function of each piece of writing should be a little bit different from every other piece of writing, whether it's the personal statement, the most meaningful experiences, the secondaries, or even the activity descriptions. We'll go into that a little bit more certainly later in this podcast and even more so in some of the other webinars that Accepted's provided. The D in PAD stands for demonstrate your writing and communications skills. You are applying to a professional school, a very demanding professional school, and a career that requires a lot of communications. unless you're an anesthesiologist or a pathologist, you need to be able to communicate your thoughts succinctly and well. And again, you're entering a professional school. You want to convey yourself, not enough to be stuffy, but as a real human being who is able to communicate in a professional way. So there's the PAD in PAD, provide a window into the real you, add value to other part, to the rest of your application, and demonstrate your writing and communication skills. Okay, who's going to be reading these essays? Admissions people, right? The admissions committee. And they're going to be evaluating your application. Well, yes, they are frequently physicians, sometimes medical students, and sometimes enrollment professionals, all the above. What they all have in common is one very simple, basic fact. They're all human beings. They're all people. And when they read your applications, like most human beings, not all, but most, will respond like and respond well to stories, anecdotes, and specifics that make you come alive. Grandiose platitudes, generic declarative statements, you know, you kind of get really suspicious of them. They, if they're not backed up with something specific or an example, or better yet, if you can just have the specific or example or anecdote replace the declarative statement, or perhaps have the declarative statement conclude after the anecdote, it's more persuasive. It's more engaging. It's more real. You don't normally go around thumping your chest and saying, I'm great. But if you say some of the things that you've done, then maybe somebody will conclude that you are a great candidate for medical school. So remember in your writing that you want to use anecdotes and specifics to make your points, to show what a wonderful physician you're going to be. That's number one. Number two, the people who are going to be evaluating your application, and I've heard this over and over again in a variety of interviews that I've conducted with medical school admissions officers, some of which I'm going to link to from the show notes at exhibit.com/296. They want to be able to imagine you treating their mother or father with compassion, with kindness, and skill. They want to see you as a detail-oriented, empathetic professional. It's, again, this is a very detail-oriented profession. I think I once told the story on the podcast of a friend of ours who's a radiologist, and he was providing a certain treatment, and he noticed that the color that he was about to inject into his patient was off. It was different from what he'd done previously. And even though the patient ID number matched and the name matched, the name was a fairly common name, he thought, something's off here. And he called the pharmacy, and he'd been given the wrong drug. If he'd injected it, his patient would have died. So attention to the smallest of details can be absolutely critical, can make the difference between life and death. And your role in that life and death, I might add, because he was shaking when he told us the story. Again, the people reading your essays, they're going to respond well to stories and anecdotes. They want to be able, as a result of your writing and the picture you portray of yourself, to see you treating their loved one. And they want to see you as a detail-oriented, empathetic professional. When should you write them? Well, if you're planning to apply this summer, and you want to be ahead of the game, and you want to give yourself every opportunity to get accepted, assuming you have the MCAT and the coursework under your belt, try and apply early in the process. Ryan Gray likes to compare medical school admissions to musical chairs, and I told him when he used that metaphor that I would always quote him, and I have. I think he's right. If you apply earlier, there are lots of seats to grab. If you apply later, there are a lot fewer, and it's harder. So if you can plan to submit sometime in June at the latest July, that will give you an advantage in the process, much better than August or September. So you want to apply as early as possible. And for an example of somebody who did so successfully, I would recommend that you listen to the podcast with Ryan Gray, who was accepted by October of this year. It's exhibit.com/288. It was our 288th episode just a few weeks ago. If you missed it, it was a really interesting one. And he talked about how he started the process early. He actually delayed his application 1 year, but then he submitted in June. He pre-wrote his secondaries. He was on top of everything. And that extra time allowed him to apply once, apply successfully, and yes, be accepted early. And in terms of the win, also realize you are not going to do your best writing and present that wonderful portrait of yourself if you figure, you know, I can knock this out in 2 hours on a Sunday afternoon. Good writing requires rewriting. And that's not what's going to happen on one Sunday afternoon. It's not even going to happen if you say, oh, I can do all the writing, the MMEs, the most meaningful experiences, the activity descriptions, the personal statement. I can knock it out all in one day. You probably could knock it out all in one day, but I don't think you can do it excellently all in one day. If your goal is just to knock something out, fine. If your goal is to get into medical school, allow time, allow for rewriting, allow time for there to be distance between your first draft, a review of that draft, a second draft, because your ability to put time between draft and review will really, really do a lot for your critical eye. To prep for secondaries. Secondaries are not going to give you that kind of time. Your personal statement, your most meaningful experiences, you'll have time if you start now. You'll have plenty of time. Now, if you wait till May and you want to get in June, you're not going to have quite so much time. And obviously, if you wait longer, and again, don't try the knockout routine that I mentioned a minute ago, but if you start soon, you'll have time. You can, you know, work on it steadily now. You can take notes. You can. We'll go into more of this in the framework and some of the other stuff we have, but allow time. You can contact us now if you want us to help you with it, but give yourself time. If you want to know what I think is a minimum in terms of the writing requirements to do it well, I would like to allow you at least a month or two to really, you know, think about how everything should complement each other, and they should, and allow time for, again, this rewriting, not obsessing, but being able to write a draft, walk away from it, review it, that kind of process. You know, the secondaries, in contrast, they're going to come in a deluge. At this point, more and more schools send out automatic secondaries. Secondary applications, in terms of the requirements, can want as little as a check and a form. And if you're going to fill out a form, do fill it out with the correct punctuation and capitalization and all that stuff. Or they can require several essays in addition to the check and the form. And some of the essays are long. I think Duke has 7 or 8 essays that it wants. And others will have a few short answer questions. So because secondaries are frequently, increasingly being sent automatically, they all tend to come at once because your application is verified and then sent to automatically to various medical schools, and they automatically send you secondaries. And one sign of interest in a program is getting it back promptly. So we recommend that you turn around secondaries within 2 weeks. To prep for secondaries, as you decide which programs you want to apply to, I'd strongly encourage you to take notes, either in Evernote or some whatever file system works for you. Take notes on programs as you research where to apply so you can pre-write secondaries between submission of your primary and the secondary arrival. I also will link to, by the way, how to create successful secondary applications. And you can watch this recorded webinar when you start writing your secondaries. There's also some other resources we have with tips on writing secondaries. And we have school-specific secondaries. And again, I will link to that. So you can review the questions for specific schools, schools that you're most interested in, and also to see tips on how to respond to different posts. Now, some of you may worry, well, what if they change the secondaries? It's always possible that they will change, but most of them don't. And if you're ahead of the game and you have pre-written secondaries, it's going to make your life so much easier that I would say the risk is low that you're going to be wasting your time. Also, some of the material that you write, it may not be exactly right for the new secondary question, will still be adaptable to the new question so that your previous effort will not be for naught. What about the what? What do you include in this material? All right, so let's just talk about the personal statement for a minute on the primary applications. The primary application, the point of the primary application in a, you know, like a 35,000 foot view, is to show your fitness for a career in medicine, a career as a physician. And the point of the secondary applications, by the way, again, from a 35,000 foot view, very, very high viewpoint, is to show your fit with a particular school and program. It's not that the school, that the particular schools don't look at primaries with an eye on their particular program, and it's not that they are going to ignore your fitness for a physician when they're looking at your secondary. But the focus of the two differs in the way that I just described it. Now, when you're thinking about your personal statement, I'd like you to ask yourself, what do I want the reader to really remember about me? And I would suggest that you avoid something like, I'm really hardworking, because you know what? Everybody who is applying to medical school is really hardworking. I would think in terms of, what qualities are you bringing, other than being hardworking, to medical school? What experiences have convinced you medicine is the right path for you, the right career for you? And then once you have the point that you want to focus on, think about the experiences that you're most proud of, that you would most like the admissions committee to know about, and that support this point, that provide evidence of this point. You don't have to tell your whole life story, and you shouldn't even try, because you can't. But if you can answer questions like, why medicine? What will make me a good physician, via your personal statement, even if then your personal statement will be well on its way to helping you get accepted. Now, I don't recommend that you write an essay that starts, I want to be a physician because, or I'll make a great physician because I did XYZ. I don't recommend that you start with, I was born in, or anything like that. I recommend that you take a journalistic approach. And if you think about it, when you read a feature story in a magazine or an article or on the web, it will almost start with something that engages you, that arouses your curiosity, makes you want to read more, or just sounds interesting. And typically, that opening is going to be an anecdote, an unusual but not weird fact or statement, perhaps a question, maybe something sensory, like a particular sight or smell or sound. It's never going to be, you know, the openings that I was suggesting you avoid. You know, my name is, well, they know that it's somewhere else in your application. Then you're going to have this opening, which is going to engage them. You'll then provide evidence to support your main point, the thing you want them to remember. And then you'll conclude your essay by tying back the lead and either repeating or perhaps concluding with your main point, what you really want them to remember. You may also repeat some of the subpoints depending upon what they were and the whole essay. Obviously, I can't go into that specifics, that much specifics here without, you know, knowing more about your specific essay. But that structure tends to work well. It's not the only one, but it is a good one. Now, the most meaningful experiences and activity descriptions on your primary application should fill out and provide texture and color while adding to the reader's understanding of you as a multidimensional human being. So when you're writing your or strategizing about your MCAS or ACOMAS or TMDSAS application, don't feel compelled to put everything into the personal statement. Those experiences, the most meaningful experiences and the activity descriptions, they can, again, add all kinds of information about you. And that's what they're there for. You shouldn't feel that everything has to be tied to one experience. We had a client a few years ago who unfortunately had a medical condition that developed, I think, in college. And he was very much focused on his experience as a patient and how it motivated him and all that. And that was certainly a big part of his life story and was appropriate for him to write about. But he had all kinds of other stuff to write about too. So while it was fine for the personal statement to focus on that, the other activities, the other impact he has had, the other influences on him, the other ways that he's contributed, they were perfect for the most meaningful experiences and the activity descriptions. And again, that's the kind of material that you want to put into those other essays and other writing material. You may ask, what if I don't have 15 experiences? Well, I would hope that you do. When you consider all your community service, all your clinical exposure, all your research experiences, hobbies, sports, music, the arts, you know, whatever it may be, I bet you probably do. So just, and I would certainly encourage you, again, you're trying to present a multidimensional portrait of yourself, that you use all those experiences. Don't think, oh, they're not going to be interested in that. I remember years ago, I had a client who was applying to medical school, and his hobby was kind of collecting butterflies. And he wrote in one of the activities about his, I think it was the activity, I'm not sure, but he wrote about his butterfly collection and kind of how he liked to type them, etc. And after an interview, he was told it was the most interesting part of his application. So don't be afraid to write about a distinctive hobby, assuming it's genuine. It's genuinely something that you are very much involved in and engaged in. And again, just going along with that, in terms of the activity descriptions, it can be about hobbies, community service in all its forms. It can be about a variety of commitments, and use this all the space if at all possible. Now let's move on to secondaries. As I mentioned, secondary essays, the focus is on fit with individual programs. So you have to know those programs well. You have to research the special programs that an individual school has, the mission statement. And then in your secondary essays, you want to write about those activities that best demonstrate fit with that school's approach to medical education, and its mission as a medical school. You don't want to just repeat your personal statement or what you've written already on the MCAS application. You can go into more depth if it was an activity description on MCAS. And again, the point would be to show fit with the particular program you are submitting an application to. If you're responding to a specific question, which is fairly typical on secondary applications, and not all, then you have to make sure that you answer the question posed. Sometimes what I like to do when reading secondary essays is read the essay, actually look at the question, read the essay, and then go back to the question and see if I can answer the question based on what I just read. If I haven't, the essay did not answer the question well. And then the applicant has a little bit more writing and work to do. Where is the last one? And where is probably least, I should say least significant, it's probably the one that has you guys scratching your heads wondering, what's she talking about where? I mean, what does it matter where? Well, I would encourage you to write in a place where you can focus, where it's quiet. Sometimes I like to write with instrumental music. I generally don't like to write with vocal because then the words can be distracting. But otherwise, you really need to focus, you need to think, and you need to be in a quiet place. If that's the library, great. If it's your kitchen table, great. It's probably not going to be in the common area of your dorm. That's not going to be a real quiet place. So just choose a place that's best for you to concentrate. People aren't going to be interrupting you, and you can really focus for some time on whatever it is that you're writing. And with that, I want to thank you very much for listening. I want to remind you that this podcast is sponsored by Acceptance Webinar, the 5-Part Framework for Medical School Acceptance, which I'm going to be presenting on February 6th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can register via a link in the show notes at accept.com/296. Listener, thank you for joining me today for our 296th episode. If you find the show worthwhile, I have a suggestion for you. Subscribe. That way you won't miss any of our future shows, whether they be with me alone, with admissions directors, medical school students, residents, or young professionals, or alumni doing great things. You can find subscribe links in the show notes at, you guessed it, accepted.com/296. Thanks again for coming. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.